Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void. We're prohibited by
law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi everyone, we're at the pub for Gig Pod episode 182, where we'll spend a lot of the day laughing at a certain overweight individual who makes bad decisions and dresses terribly. But enough about myself, Stevie. We'll also focus on Michael Beale. With me to have a laugh at the events that unfolded at Ibrox yesterday are Reedzo. Hello.
Hello, I thought you were going to mean me there, because I'm actually wearing a pink shirt as we speak.
Before we started, off air, you've misinterpreted a couple of things. Is that because you were at drilling in the roads?
I wasn't on the roads, it was on the concrete and stuff at people's houses. That's enough about me.
Don't worry about me. Anyway, also joining me. Hello, Dan.
Hello, Stephen.
Your voice sounds familiar.
I can't think you've heard me before, but lovely to be here as always. Your esteemed company, boys. Sat inside, obviously, in a lovely sunny day in Glasgow. So, Glasgow sunshine, lovely. And we're sat inside podding, so... this is the sacrifices we make for this great show, Stevie.
I was about to say, we really are three sad individuals, aren't we? It's boiling outside and we're in a wee... It's a disservice. It's a beautiful pub we're in.
It's a lovely pub.
A very quiet pub as well.
Well, not for long when I start.
That's true.
Hitting it with some opinions very loudly.
That's...
Anyway, right, listen. Me and you are going to have a rammy on air.
We are, yes.
Dan here. Poor Dan. He's going to have to intervene at some point. May have to get a round in or so to calm me down. Not that I'm hinting or anything, Dan. But anyway, we're going to be talking about yesterday's game. Celtic went 4 points clear at the top, getting into the break. And essentially, we're going to start at the lineup because yesterday, you were actually a disgrace yesterday before the game.
You forgot to see what game we're talking about, then, but the score was Rangers 0, Celtic 1. You were like that as well all week and when the lineup was announced as well. Don't kid.
Don't know what you're talking about.
As soon as a lineup was announced,
don't raise your voice at me.
You texted me, oh no, and you put it in the group chat.
Is that the one you're invited to?
Thanks for the invite. Both things, you went, oh no, in capital letters. Why did you do that?
Because two certain players were playing. Well, I wouldn't have chose them. Doesn't mean that I thought I was going to assume the worst or anything. No, I wasn't like you.
You thought we were going to get beat.
I said it was going to be two each. I said it would
be. I think you changed it to 2-1 Rangers. But admit it, after the transfer window, we were both in our state.
I don't think
and rightfully so, because the transfer window was.
I don't think it
poor.
Was. Don't think it was. It's just ourselves that were a bit pissed off with what had happened during the
transfer window. And because the last two performances had been pitiful. Let's not kid on.
They were. But we'll get into Mayor talking about you being a pussy, shall we say, later on. But I just want to talk about the. See, somebody said a pinter. We're going to talk about the lineup first off. So, the team that Brendan chose was Joe Hart, Greg Taylor, Liam Scales, The Baron, AJ, Turnbull, Matt O'Reilly, McGregor, Daisa Maeda, Kyogo and Abada. Dan, what was your immediate thoughts on the lineup when it came out at 10:45 it was, wasn't it?
Well, I was gutted, Stevie, that Brendan Rodgers didn't start 12 players.
We're going to have to address that, I think. You actually clocked my mistake.
It was me that clocked it, thankfully.
It was a work, it was deliberate.
Sure it was. I wasn't overly surprised, to be honest with you, in terms of who was available. We obviously had a bit of an inkling before it that Phillips was no match fit, so I wasn't surprised to see the Baron, as you have christened him, and Big Skillsy continue at the back. Personally, I was advocating to throw in Luis Palma. From the start, I thought it was nothing to lose, really, and Dyson's general form so far this season, I thought it's been pretty subpar, to be kind. But in fairness to him, he's been there and done it in these games. So it wasn't necessarily a shock that the Brenegade Master persisted with him on the left-hand side.
Weasel, what about yourself? I mean, when you saw that line-up, right, admittedly, I did say, oh no, because the thought of Liam Scales and David Turnbull at Ibrox yesterday was alarming me, but of course they were allowed to grow into the game because of Michael Beale, in my opinion. Now, I know we're going to come on to this later on, but just talking about the lineup itself, what was alarming you the most?
Well, the fact that Scales was going to start, and obviously it proved me wrong, but let's not kid on, he was very poor against St Johnson, and you'll agree with me, and we talked about that last week. David Turnbull, who was obviously a favourite of Brendan's, I think has he started every league game this season?
Ross County, Aberdeen.
Aye, he started
against home was playing against Kelly. Aye, he started against St Johnston.
Aye, I think he started every game. So, like, I had your favourite player, Smile. So, he's obviously a fan of his, but we've seen enough of him. I think he's not going to have a big impact in the game. And to be fair, he didn't really, but more of that later. And obviously, Dyson, who I did see, I thought would play because he's obviously gave Captain Marvelous loads of problems in the past, and so even though he's been poor this season, and when I think when the chance there was a big talk with Dyson was going to play, I always thought he'd start, but I was concerned still that he might be out of form because he was, I mean, look at that shot he did against St Johnston. It ended up in with the ultras, said where you sit as the oldest ultra in town, but no, obviously I was worried, and so are you.
No, I can't deny that. It was Turnbull. I mean, the midfield were, we've said all season, chronically slow. And I do feel that Michael Beale invited us to have the freedom of Ibrox yesterday. And that actually suited our game plan. But Dan, if I can just bring you in there now, we've just learned off air that Rizzo, in the first sort of 30 seconds when Rangers got a disallowed goal, he walked out the
room.
No,
I didn't walk out the room. I never had enough time to walk out the room when they scored that goal. Because the flag...
10 minutes to gaff a seat, aye?
Aye, because it's sunk down in the floor in depression. No, because I knew it was offside, and they even said on the telly that, oh, he's offside right away.
Dan, you've seen Brendan, you've also been a big fan of Brendan Rodgers, and you've seen how well that he set up sides at Ibrox to go there and win there comfortably. So at what moment for you in the first half, if at all, did you think that, by the way, we're in this and we're going to be fine here? Was there a certain moment that you thought that cemented that sort of feeling for you?
I thought just a general play after initially, obviously that offside goal, which, like John, I knew was a mile offside at the time. I just thought we grew into the game and took command of it far better. It was a typical start to one of these derby games where by the first 15-20 minutes was a right scrap and there wasn't a whole lot of football played. But after that, albeit for a bit of a horror show at the back that I did think we got away with the Baron, which obviously we'll talk about, I thought we were fully in control, to be honest, for the vast majority of that first half. As I say, the initial scrap of the first 15-20 minutes or so, but after that we really took hold of the game. You said there obviously that the way Beale set Rangers up virtually gave our midfield the freedom of Ibrox. I do agree with that to an extent, because I don't think any of them getting near Callum McGregor in that first half, and obviously that was something I think they looked to do in the derby games last season, was put a man on McGregor and essentially try and mark him out the game. Nobody get close to him yesterday, and I think allowing him that kind of freedom to take control of the game basically allowed us then to take control also.
Were your thoughts initially then, John, like obviously seen Celtic grow into the game when Callum McGregor was pulling the strings in midfield. He played an amazing through ball for Leo Labada, who put a ball in for Kyogo, who really should have done better. Then we saw Matt O'Reilly, who I thought was excellent yesterday. We'll talk about him later. Played a great through ball for Kyogo, and it was very uncharacteristic of him because he diddled on the ball. It's not like him. He's usually so quick when he knows what he's going to do, and Butland makes a save, and then I think when he tries to square it again, Goldson clears it off the line. Goldson cleared it off the line, didn't he?
That was, I think, after Goldson gave the ball away originally, yes, and Abada passed him. But no, I mean, I was encouraged. Obviously, if you look at that one in the first 30 seconds, the space that the two centre-backs gave Rangers to get through us was alarming, in a way that's expected, because like it's all the second time they've ever like started together. So like, I mean, there was always going to be like issues. Like, it was a huge pressure game, but I don't really care what anybody says, it was huge. After they didn't get that early goal, it sort of did remind me of the way we played under Ange. And I have to admit, even though I think we deserve a lot of praise and you're sticking more that it was Beale's fault, we did play well. And we'll talk about how Callum McGregor controlled the game, and he did. First half was the best. It was like 5 years ago, but there was no guarantee he was going to play well, because look at how we've hammered him in the pod this season. I mean, last week and against Kilmarnock, in fact against Aberdeen, he was rubbish. I don't think he's played well, I think, once this season. So there was no guarantee he was going to turn up and dominate the game like he did for the first half especially. And obviously a part of that is because Rangers are morons and the Rangers manager's silly, right? But it's up to us to take advantage of that. And really, I know there's going to be loads and loads of talk about that disallowed goal, which was the right decision, and if Bobby Madden said it's good enough for me. So we still could have scored like 4 goals. I mean, we had great chances in the second half as well. There was that one with Abada that was a save of Butland that somehow didn't get awarded as a corner. Great job there, Don Robertson. And with that one as well, even I think Kyogo had that one as well, where he blasted it over the bar when it was in the second half.
He turned the suitor.
Aye.
He could break at 1.0.
I think
it was Yang, wasn't it?
He tried to deal a complicated pass.
Aye. I mean, that's, I don't know if that's a point we'll maybe address later on, but I did think that was still a cause for concern from the game. Especially going into Europe where, let's be honest, clear-cut chances are going to be few and far between. In the previous games this season, and again at Ibrox, I thought we were very wasteful in front of goal.
If I can just stick with yourself here, Dan, you said you felt as if we got out of jail with the disallowed goal. Now, I haven't seen the back, and having, you know, I've never criticised Robert Madden, great referee, always spoke highly of him in Gig Pod, brilliant guy as well, of course, definitely. Don't go through the old episodes, please, everybody. But I mean, if you've got Bobby Madden coming out and basically saying that shouldn't be accounted, that is concrete proof right there that the goal should have been disallowed. So I know you said the same. We did say in the chat this as well. Dan, coming on to yourself though, do you feel that we go out of jail? Why was that? Is it mere just Lagerbeke for the fact that turned into Lenny here with the pronunciation? I'll just call him the Baron again, right? But and what to Lenny later, by the way, about him as a pundit, he was class. But do you think it was the fact that he was just diddling on the ball, and it was the fact that he did get fouled, but we didn't need to get to that stage, really?
Well, Roger said that himself. He said to him at half time, he took far too long in the ball there. But equally, one of his teammates should have made a better angle for the pass. So I think it was just pretty calamitous all round. And I was furious, to be honest, at the time, because I think we had started to finally take a bit of control of the game. Like I say, it settled down for that initial 15-20 minutes where it is just a battle and a bit of a scrap. But we'd taken control of the game at that point, and it was really silly and needless. Now, obviously, after the fact, people have brought up how the law around it means that it is in all likelihood a foul, and I think whatever the on-pitch decision had been, had that been given at the time, example, as a foul, I don't think it would have been this massive controversy or anything like that. It's the fact it's then obviously gone to VAR. Like, I don't claim to be a referee.
Really? Or to know. You're dressed in black though.
I am indeed.
And you're wearing specs.
I am indeed.
They're going to know your address next, mate.
Like, I am a punter. I do not know the laws of the game inside out, right? So if there's been a change there that I've missed somewhere along the line, fair enough. But it was silly and it was needless, is all I'm going to say. on another day we could have been punished for that. So I do think we got away with one, regardless of whether it was a foul by the new definitions of the laws of the game or not.
And then shortly after that, Rizzo Kyogo pops up with yet another goal against Rangers. Now it says 6 against Rangers in 8 starts, 10 games overall. He's now scored, put this out on Instagram yesterday at half time, he scored at both sides of the ground now, both ends of the ground, even against Rangers like Ibrox, Hampden and at Celtic Park. There's no doubt in my mind now, I rated Moussa Dembele so highly. For me, he always was the best since Larsson, but I would now say Kyogo undoubtedly is our best striker since Henrik has left.
Possibly.
Champions League.
Aye, that's it.
Needs a couple of goals in.
Mm-hmm. Last season.
Then. How many goals is it going to take for Kyogo in the Champions League then to surpass
Moussa? If he just scores 2, even, they'd go on a level with me. Because...
And he's capable of it this season.
He is, but he really did miss some great chances last season when settles.
Let's no talk about last season.
No, but I mean, and obviously we'll talk about the Champions League more the next couple of weeks. But I think he is a fantastic player, and I think that's maybe his best goal he's ever scored for Celtic.
Think so?
Aye, because it was because of that game. Let's no kid.
You think Dundee United Tannadice?
No, that was better. Because of what it meant. I mean, probably scored better goals technically. But I mean, that was still a brilliant goal the way he took it. Instinctively, I mean, Jack Butland is a good goalkeeper, and it really wasn't for him.
Brendan.
It wasn't for him in the last 2 games. Rangers really could have, like, even worse defeats. I think he's much better goal than Joe Hart. And by the way, Joe Hart was fine yesterday. After all my rants about him never playing for us again, I thought he did fine.
Can I just say, and I've got to be very careful here because of what's happened, and I mean that sincerely, right?
But
do you regret that your rant at Joe Hart after Ross County?
No. Because I still don't think he's good enough in the long run.
Do you think that's the difference between us and Rangers fans in terms of we have got high standards? Might be unfair.
No, because they've got high standards too.
I don't think they have, because they persevered the time.
But look at the way the fans reacted after the game when the players did their sort of lap around the stadium, which was the same as how people...
But look at how they reacted last season and all that, even though they finished runners-up and all that, and they were going mental after a 3-0 win.
I don't know, I turned that off and it was 1-0. No, I think both teams have got high standards. That's what makes the rivalry such a interesting rivalry, because it's 2 massive teams in one city, and it's cliche alert. And like, if we lost that game yesterday, the fact that we won that the way we did with that starting lineup,
you and I got a beer.
No, well, I had a stack of them yesterday to try and calm my nerves. But that's the best one Ibrox for literally a generation. I think it's even better than the Samaras one we were talking about.
Oh, I disagree with that.
Oh, no,
it's not. He's better than the 2-1 under Ange.
Aye.
No, John, no.
Obviously, that was a better...
Get lost.
That was a better night, obviously, because we all went out.
No, get lost, John. I'm not having that. I think you're drunk already after one
I think that's harsh. No, obviously, I loved that win. And
don't give me a butt.
I loved the night out after it, obviously. No, I think that's... Okay, it's... On a par, actually.
Compare and contrast the quality of the 2 Rangers teams.
It's more about the issues we had. We got into that game against Rangers when we won at Ibrox. We were in brilliant form. We'd only dropped points, I think, once in that calendar year. And it was in 2022, and it was against Hibs, that game we talked about, mind. The Nunnies draw. And we had knee injuries. That was a Rangers... That was obviously a better Rangers team because they got to the European final. But... That Rangers team, still loads of their players are playing for them now. We didn't have our best two players. Well, in fact, 2 of our best 3 players. Kyogo, CCV, Hitai. I'd say he's our best 3 players. McGregor just under them. No CCV, no Hitai. We've sold Jota. We never had Rocky. We never had so many key players. And we won comfortably. This is our best win at Ibrox in years. Amazing one.
I suppose that is where you can make the comparison with the Samaras game, in that we had a heavy injury list. Brown, I think, was suspended that day.
Hooper was injured,
so I can understand the comparison.
Because I just had no hope at all for Celtic. I know Brendan's a brilliant manager, and I know Michael Beale, as you're going to go on about, isn't he a good manager? But I just could see no way. In fact, until we started playing well, and for even after they get that goal disallowed, I still thought, we'll lose 2-0 now. But I mean, obviously, after we scored, even though I was a nervous wreck, I still thought, oh, we can see it out and you can get another goal. But the fact that we've got all these issues, and don't forget, we've been playing so rubbish this season, and we have, you need to admit that,
No, we have.
Every game, even against Aberdeen and Ross County, we've played poor for big chunks of the games, and Kilmarnock and St Johnstone were pitiful. But very few people would have saw that coming yesterday. In that chat we're in, I thought we'd get hammered. An unnamed individual who's on an airplane now thought we'd that's what I'm listening to way back, by the way. He thought we'd get hammered, right? Everybody else thought we'd, even like John McGinley.
Who's that?
A guy who you might do sometimes live videos with. He thought we'd get beat as well. Everybody thought we'd get beat. That when we, it's such a huge win, and I think Europe will obviously still be a massive struggle for us. But I think now after that, any worries people have had about Brendan, they'll be over. And I'm expecting us now, like we were all draining, playing like Livingston, Hibs, Hearts. I'm expecting us now to win all the games, because that win will be so massive for that team. And we'll have better players back obviously soon, like Hitati will be back I think for Dundee, and for one, and he's a huge player. So no, to me this is our best win at Ibrox for years. Amazing win, can't believe it really.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited
by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
See in the second half then, Dan, right? Butland makes a great save for Abada, and we've had wasteful counters, if you've spoken about. Rangers were huffing and puffing, but essentially they had no quality. You had the Lammers sitter.
Mm-hmm.
Hart made a really good save from Danilo, and then a follow-up one, I think,
saves,
from
yeah.
Dessers with his foot, I think it was.
Mm-hmm. That was more a sort of miss-kick, and Hart was in the right place at the right time.
Yeah. I was going to ask you, though, was there a moment in the second half where you thought, this is it, we've got the 3 points here? For myself, I've noted that, and this is always weird, because usually when you're on TV, especially watching it on Sky, when you're watching it at night, Sky have this thing where they drown out all the noise and the vitriol and the toxicity and everything. But even when I was watching it yesterday, that reaction they had to Roof going off.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's been a noise like. I think they've probably made a bigger noise when he went off than when they actually score. I really do, because I think that put mad pressure on them after that. And for what, there's a couple of Rangers fans in my work when I spoke to you about that, because I said to them, listen, that noise was so evident. Mm-hmm. That they were going ballistic at that, and they were saying that a couple of them sit, I know this isn't the Glasgow's Blue Pod, I'm just saying that they sit like down near the dugout and all that, and they saw Beale was apparently like shocked at the reaction of it. Mm-hmm. I mean, watching the TV, I'm like, if that's the way they're reacting, and they've taken off them all, like, their biggest goal threat, and they've brought on a guy who's a complete dud. That Lammers is awful. He's terrible, and I think that was how it came on for Roof, wasn't it, Lammers?
It was a triple change at the time, wasn't it? They made a change at left back, and then they brought on Seymour Danilo that came on first. I think it may have been Danilo, wasn't it, that came on with Lammers. But
I think, yeah, it was the fact they kept Dessers on, they took out Roof, and that was a moment for me where I thought, they've really lost the crowd here, and they're just going to get on their back for the rest of the game. You saw it, they had just no quality to break us down.
Mm-hmm.
And as you know, somebody said earlier on, they're back four for the last 25 minutes with Burnaby, Ralston, the Baron, who was generally poor in that
William
second
Scales.
Half as well,
and
William Scales. So was there a moment for you in the second half where you thought, we've got this?
I think it was probably after that Lammers miss. Again, you know for a fact, this is not a guy I rate. I watch a fair bit of the old Calcio, and admittedly, as a result of that, I said Cyril Dessers would actually be a good signing for them, and he's doing absolutely everything in his power to prove me wrong at the minute, which, in fairness, I would rather be wrong than him actually turning out to be a good player.
Will he cook eventually?
Oh, he'll cook. Once he gets some blonde highlights in his hair and some grills,
would it be some clutch partner in there and all?
He will come up clutch, mate, but... I just thought, after that mess, there's no chance they're scoring today. You said you don't want to tell it in the Glasgow's Blue podcast, which I think is fair, even though we're going to have a big thing about Michael Beale later on, but they are just so utterly toothless in attack. I do not understand what they are meant to be doing. They're so narrow. They've resorted to playing Rabbi Matondo, who was meant to be on the way out at Rangers. They've signed a bunch of forwards who, other than Dessers really, none of them are a recognised number nine, but also none of them are out and out wingers either. I've got no idea what they're meant to be doing, and they're no clinical at all. So the minute Lammers rounded heart, made the stupid decision to take that was right rather than his left, or trying to square it back across goal. Easy for me to say, I know, obviously, as a armchair pundit, but
good at fives, but
aye, very good at fives, by the way. I just thought after that there's no chance of scoring today. And as you say, we went into the last 15-20 minutes of that game with Ralston on the right, Burnaby on the left, Scales and the Baron, who I did think was pretty poor actually throughout, to be honest. And yet they just never looked like scoring.
And what's weird, John, is I'll talk to you about the full time scenes in a wee second, right? But this is, I mean, you've watched countless of these games, I mean, you know how stressed out and nervous I can get. I'm a nightmare to sometimes watch a game with. In about 94 minutes in the clock, I was up at my gran's yesterday, and it was myself, my uncle, auntie, my granda, and all that there. My daughter was upstairs in the room just playing her Switch, and cause like a great da here, dingied her pretty much all game. I went up about 94 minutes just to see if she was alright. Now, I would never usually think of skipping those last 3 minutes whatsoever if I thought this is in the balance or there's just a final bit of drama happening here. But I just sensed in that second half, we had about half an hour to go, it's the roof. I think the roof sub was a bit big one for me, but I just thought, nah, I think we're fine here. And I just went up to see my daughter for the last sort of 5 minutes, and I heard downstairs my family all going nuts. So, you know, talking about the full time scenes and everything, John, it was very weird without seeing our fans, our players, sorry, go to the fans over to that end of the Brimlin. It was mad not seeing that. You had Rangers fans absolutely erupting. You had that boy with a get lost, no, was it you fuck off, you fuck off. Boy was just like a meme now. Shame for him. And in general, their fans just erupted after that. But what was your thoughts on the full time scenes with no Celtic fans for our players to go over to?
Before I start that, see if they had equalised in the 96th minute, would you have been alright with it this time, or would you have been annoyed?
I would have been annoyed, but it wouldn't have been like the end of the world or that.
Okay, I just want to see if you'd change for that team with a fight about it in a pub one time. Right, okay, that's for long term listeners, isn't it? It was a pity that the fans weren't there, and it is a pity what's happened to the derby. I mean,
not through our fault.
No, but it's ruined it in a way. The best thing about the derby, that doesn't mean I want both. I don't think I'll. I think some will happen where there is like a decent number of fans, but I don't know how, because always the Celtic don't want to be in that corner. We'll never offer Rangers like 7,000 tickets again. I don't know. If we end up playing them in the Scottish Cup at Ibrox or Parkhead, like the first round, look, there'd definitely be away fans there.
Well, we're obligated to, aren't we?
Aye.
Contractually.
I think they could take up to 10% as well. That's probably the only chance you've got to get any similar allocations again.
And there would definitely be fans at the Scottish Cup game.
I totally agree with yourself. I just think, as Brendan said, one for the Daz here, it's not the same game without the away supporters, and that's at Ibrox and at Celtic Park. I've never been to a derby at Ibrox, but the ones I've been to at Celtic Park, granted, I don't want to sound too spoilt here, because we did win the two of them last season, and we've won other games as well. I think other than maybe the midweek 3-0 under Ange in his first season, the 4-0 was a good laugh as well, to be fair. But either the 800 in the corner or no fans at all, it isn't the same game.
It wasn't
hated.
A nostalgic move.
It was not a nostalgic move.
Right, well, I thought the end was interesting. I mean, obviously, it was good to see the place that were in. Brendan had a big, massive cheesy grin. It was like good old Brendan for the old days. That was really the first, since his first press conference, which I missed, of course, this is the first time he's really, like, we've been talking nonstop about how he's been low-key. That was like the first time, like, he's really been up for it. And I don't know, he must have been determined all week while everybody was losing their minds about the transfer window. He must have really thought a lot about what system he was going to play, and it worked, and obviously that's a big reason why.
I wonder how much Lenny's phone call played a part in it.
Oh, tons, Lenny. What a guy, we'll talk.
By the way, no, let's talk about now. Can we just say, like, I know we've hammered
Lenny.
I know we've hammered Neil on the pod, by the way, but Caesar Pundit yesterday, I thought it was fantastic.
But there was better than Chris Boyd anyway. I'm sorry, but Sky, we know they don't think Scottish football's any money. That's how they don't give you any good. I mean, that's how they don't give you any money, even though we've tied them to until like 2029 or something. But I mean, obviously they bought Chris Sutton in, and Chris Sutton's one of my favourite ever Celtic players. But they've obviously just brought him in so him and Boyd can have fights with each other and spend like the whole, like spend 10 minutes after the game just to argue with each other.
Is that what me and you do anyway?
Yeah, but we're good at it. But I mean, Boyd just made himself look silly, and Sutton's making himself look silly as well. And Lenny was the only decent pundit, I thought, yesterday, which is saying something, because I thought Lenny was hopeless at the Kilmarnock game a couple of weeks ago. But no, Lenny was great. But Sky are really, I thought they were bad when they landed Walker, but, and I like, Chris is my favourite Celtic player. I know people love him because he wings up Rangers, but I know this is the Glasgow Sky podcast, but I think they've somehow managed to
I
know, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't work what they're trying to do. But I mean, if we can talk briefly about how the Rangers fans are so angry at the end of the game. I mean, that, I mean, after the game last week, when we were leaving the stadium, you were going on about how angry the fans were where you were sitting. I mean, that was a bit different, obviously, because I think Celtic Park was a lot more empty than Ibrox was at the end of the game. Like, I think loads of people left before the end of the game at the St Johnstone game last week. Now, obviously, more people would have stayed because Rangers fans would be hoping they'd get an equaliser in the last minute. So I think, in a way, the reaction's quite similar. Obviously, there was more at Ibrox because there was more fans here. But I mean, I think the teams are daft if after two terrible results they're going to ruin like for rounds of applause. And obviously, it's an apology.
I agree with it. Mm.
But I mean, in this football mad city, you don't get away with results like that. I mean, our result last week was a joke. Nobody really beat St Johnstone at home. I don't know what's happening. St Johnstone at home. That is terrible. And obviously, I think one Rangers fan I know, and you know him as well, said he didn't think Rangers would win. I said to him before the game on Sunday, I think we're going to get pumped. And we've not done it to him this season. We're rubbish. And he's been on non-stop about how much he
doesn't. Well, he was right about one thing.
That's true. He was going on about how much he dislikes Michael Beale and why doesn't he get rid of him. It's no you and either, by the way. It's another one.
Great name dropping there.
Aye. So, I can understand why the fans were going so angry, because they'd have thought we'd win that game comfortably. And if that had been
after being
dubbed by PSV, and with all your horrendous injury problems and terrible form going into it, they would have thought, so that's why I think the fans were so livid. And in fact, if it was us and we'd been unable to beat the Rangers team with tons of injuries and like had very few chances, well, I don't think they'd a clear cut chance.
Do you know what I think the nearest comparison we've got with that before I come on to Dan for Man of the Match? Reminded me a lot of when I was a wee guy, 97 March, the one when they had like, they brought back Haley for a mad loan. They had a lot of players out.
Aye.
And I think it was like Loudrup or Durant at school.
Andy Dibble was in
goal. Dibble was in goal. Gorham was out. The one guy that basically stopped us winning games in the 90s. And I think Goff was out. They had a lot of big players out. Even as I say, they brought back Haley for like a three emergency loan for two or three games.
And he said nothing that game.
Aye, that's right.
For I think punching maybe Jackie McNamara. Well, and that was even worse for us anyway, because that was the year they won 9 in a row.
They pretty much only needed a point after
and,
that.
And a week and a half before it, we beat Rangers 2-0 in the Scottish Cup.
That's right. Thank you, Malcolm McKay.
Malcolm McKay.
Great guy. Had a very difficult decade.
And George Cadet scored as well, by the way. But
then it was DeCanio.
It was DeCanio, that's right.
Left wing left.
Another great guy.
That's right. Cadet won the penalty. But in a way, that one was worse because we like had to win that to like, stay in the hunt or win in the league. But in a way, it's quite the same, because I just really can't believe how we saw a stroll yesterday. I mean, the thing that really annoyed me yesterday before we got into Man of the Match was how a possession the second half was terrible at times. We kept inviting them on to it. Like, you know, I was going bananas about set pieces before the game. Like, we can't give Rangers set pieces. And we did, of course. I did watch them. I didn't cover mags. But after talking about that in the pod, I wasn't going to watch any Rangers set piece. I did watch them. But a pass in the second half was terrible at times. And you even said that in the chat. We'd fell away. But we still had the better chances.
The Barron's distribution was murder.
Well, we'll talk about individual performances in a minute, but that was the only thing that really annoyed me, saying half. A passing at times was terrible. I can understand, like Odin, that like bad pass, we try to put a guy through, understandable. But at the back, Brendan must have been really annoyed with how we gave the ball away at times.
Yeah, it's something to improve upon next time we play them there.
And for Europe,
and
obviously.
For Europe as well. Dan, coming on to yourself now, man of the match, who was yours?
I agree with Sky's pick, to be honest. I thought Liam Scales
Same here.
By, I wouldn't say a distance, but by a fair margin. Like you guys the other week, I had a lot of criticism for him. I thought he was miles off it in the game against St Johnstone or St Mirren, depending on what game John was watching. But I thought he was a mile off it last week. It was a big, big worry for me going into that game, knowing that Phillips likely wasn't going to be fit, that it would be Scales, obviously. He was considerably better than, obviously, his partner on the day, but I also thought he was, again, by a fair margin, the man of the match. I thought, in fairness, Callum McGregor had his best game of the season. Not that there's been a lot of competition for that. I thought Matt O'Reilly was excellent again, and obviously Kyogo a little bit wasteful in moments with a couple of chances he had, but to take that opportunity and to take it as well as he did obviously deserves a bit of a claim. But no, I agree with the shout for Scales. I thought he was man of the match.
What about yourself, Friedzo, man of the match shout?
Well, I thought everybody mentioned was excellent. I thought Dyson, who we've criticised a lot, I thought he was excellent. He constantly gave Rangers problems, and he's always good at Ibrox. Every time he's played there, I mean, if you look back to that 2-1 win where he sort of played as a semi striker beside Gigi, it was brilliant that day. He'd done well obviously in the 2-2 draw in January that got us at a vital point, and I thought he was excellent at the weekend. But I thought Scales, after he had that, his start was terrible. If you look at how him and the Baron get caught out for that goal, and he was really shaky in possession at the start. First 50 minutes, I think it was overwhelming for him. But after that, he was just rock solid, and he was much, much better than the Baron. I don't want to be overly critical because we've just had this amazing win, but I think the Baron is definitely a player for the future for us. When Rocky's fit, I think it'll be him and CCV, definitely.
Yeah, I think though, if CCV was playing, I don't think the Baron would have been anywhere near as bad. Like, CCV would have guided them. And obviously Scales hasn't got that leadership, but Scales is, you know, playing just for himself in that respect. He did very well at it.
Even if he doesn't make it at Celtic, and I doubt he'll be Celtic next season, he can always say, I played a massive part in a brilliant Celtic win at Ibrox.
Like Johnny Hayes?
Well, Johnny Hayes probably was a regular-ish for us. I mean, I think Scales, if everybody was fit, Scales wouldn't beat Celtic, let's face it. I mean, I think Aberdeen will probably want to buy him again. You can see why. They've won a game this season. See, if they only wins Liam Scales, you'd be tapping really good.
I think as well, the standards at Celtic are so high that as much as Scales put in a good performance yesterday, we still need to do better.
Oh no, I don't think we, even though it was an amazing win, I don't think we played that well. But getting into the game, obviously, I was very gloomy about it, as we'll probably talk about. But no, everybody had to stand up, and I think we better talk about Callum McGregor again briefly, because let's not kid, we've slaughtered him on here. I mean,
we've slaughtered him.
Okay, well, we've
been heavily critical, but it's been fair. So has a lot of the Celtics.
But if on the Instagram, you put my quote that he should get dropped, and he wouldn't get dropped.
Oh, there he is, big Vic Tim there.
Very good. But he was just outstanding. That pass for the chance for Kyogo when he...
To Abada.
When he tried to backheel it for some bemusing reason, I couldn't work out why. Actually, when I first saw the chance, I thought he'd try to dummy it for like a guy rushing in, but he didn't. But no, that was like Callum McGregor holding. Okay, Michael Beale, who we're going to talk about in a minute, his tactics were daft to give him so much freedom. But he just turned back the clock, and I think... I seen a thing about how I think he had spoke to the players. I think the players were making their debut in this game about how important it is and all that. And it really was a captain's performance. Obviously, in the second half, Rangers were always going to have more possession and get chances to an extent because, obviously, their need for a goal was greater, and that's what happens. But I genuinely thought it was a great performance from McGregor. But no, Liam Scales, he can be proud of that because it was one that nobody saw coming, I don't think. If he never plays for us again, he can say, I played in a winning Celtic team at Ibrox, and some great Celtic players didn't play in a winning team Ibrox.
I've said the surprise performance of the afternoon was a game that we really needed Matt O'Reilly.
I thought we were going to see Dyson.
No, it was Matt O'Reilly for me. I thought he was excellent. you know, in terms of a physical side of his game, that one in the first half where he just sold Cantwell was outstanding. But I think when we needed Matt O'Reilly to step up for us, he was always sort of, he was never hiding, he was always there for a pass, he was a good out ball, and his tracking back was excellent. I thought he was getting into good positions going forward. He was a threat, and Rangers generally didn't know how to handle him alongside McGregor. And a lot of that was down to the fact that, you know, for the first time this season, the way they played, it invited, you know, there was big gaps in midfield and he could exploit that. Now, before the game, we were saying that Matt O'Reilly really needed to stand up, and we needed the first proper good performance from him at Ibrox. And I was super got that, and that's what I've put down as my surprise performance.
I just want to mention Odin Thiago Holm as well. I thought he was excellent when he came on. I mean,
is that your surprise performance?
In a way, yes, because when he started at Kilmarnock, I thought he was poor. I mean, the whole team was diabolical, but I thought he was poor. But then Brendan obviously has high hopes for him, because he was involved at Pittodrie as well, and like involved today. It's probably, I'd say, our two hardest away venues, and I thought he played well in both games. I thought his passing was excellent. I mean, he put the ball through, I think it was for Dyson's cross, and just failed to reach it. That was a like Carl McGregor style ball, and I think by the end of the season he'll be a regular on the team, like starting most weeks. I don't know how it'll like all four together in the midfield, but we've signed an awful lot of young players, and I mean, if we'd lost yesterday, it would have been, oh, it's got to be too much for them. Like, how are they all going to cope with this? But now, I think because of the massive confidence we'll take for that, I think
something to build on.
Definitely something to build on. And
it's funny as well, because I was screaming about how we've got no leadership and experience going into that game, and that Rangers side, like the average age of them, they're an ageing side, but they feel like they've been ageing for the last 3 years.
Well, I don't want to turn into a Rangers podcast, but what they should have done.
What they should have done is what we did
and sell players at the right time. They should have sold Tav and Goldson after they won the league, their first ever league, of course, of 55, whatever it is. They should have sold them then, and then rebuild your team. I mean, we did that. I mean, obviously, nobody wanted Joey to leave. But when you're on top, you need to always fresh your team.
And it's not Man City, do it. I'm not comparing us to Man City. I'm just saying they constantly change.
They're part of the same group, obviously, unofficially.
Aye, of course. But I mean, yeah, when you're at the top of the league, you always need to change your team up. And Rangers haven't done it enough, and that's why they've only won one league in the last couple of years.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
As well, ask yourself, Dan, from yesterday, not that I'm looking for any criticisms or don't want to be negative, but in terms of improvements needed yesterday, where would you say that we could have done better?
Individually, I did think Lager Bielke was a mile off it, to be honest. I've been impressed with him so far. I thought his distribution in the couple of games that he'd featured in did actually look very, very good. But not just focusing on, obviously, the goal or non-goal that he gave away, I did think he was poor. As a collective and as a team, just the point I raised earlier about being ruthless and being clinical, taking your chances, as I say it, as a concern and as a worry going into these European games, we created and wasted so many opportunities in those Champions League games last season. Thankfully, we were ruthless more often than not domestically. Obviously, that's not been a theme of this season so far. We have struggled in front of goal, so that's a worry and something to improve upon, obviously, but other than that, I did think it was a good performance. We did dig in. We created plenty on the break, which obviously bodes well, particularly going into those European games where you're not just going to be playing against 10 defenders in and around the opposition box for 90 minutes. But yeah, we need to be a lot more ruthless in attack, I think.
I basically summed it up yesterday, John, by saying that Michael Beale was out his depth against a tactically experienced Brendan Rodgers. I thought it was career suicide from him. I felt that Beale actually galvanised us with the way that he set up. I thought it was dreadful, and I think his nonsense was just as important as us actually turning up. I think giving Callum McGregor the freedom of Ibrox was massive, and I think Callum McGregor can now build on that performance, and the team can build on the win. Cantwell's been like a 10 for them. and he played him as a six, and he just let McGregor have all that space. And I thought that was just as important as us turning up and playing well as well. Now I know that you're going to go on and have a rant about how it wasn't all about Michael Beale and Celtic did the job as well, but I think you've got to acknowledge that was a big part of it too. And I've got to be careful what I say here, and I mean that sincerely, of course, yada yada, but I'm just being honest, I think it was he totally imploded yesterday, as much as he was schooled by a far better manager. And we did say on the preview, Brendan is a far better manager than Beale. He just needs to outsmart him, and he did. But also, I mean, played right into our hands.
Well, aye, but I think I don't want to turn this into revisionism. Well,
I got to say the Glasgow's blue podcast there again.
We've done that one.
It's actually Glasgow's red, white, and blue. But no, I don't want it to turn into, oh, well, the only reason Celtic wins is because Rangers were rubbish. Or the only reason Celtic wins is Michael Beale's tactics are ridiculous. Because it was, what I said was the only way we, what I said all week was we'd get a chance if we didn't do anything stupid. And I'd say to you, if we're the strongest team, I thought we'd win comfortably. And we've said all along, Brendan Rodgers, a much better manager, Michael Beale, and obviously still a good manager, as you proved yesterday. But I don't want to turn into revisionism. Well, the only reason we won is because of Rangers. Because it's not that we wouldn't have, if Calum, even if like we talked about the tactics they'd done by giving McGregor so much time, if McGregor hadn't turned up, we wouldn't have won that game. But McGregor did turn up. We still needed to do the job. We still needed like the players to dig in, as you said. We still needed Kyogo to score that goal. I mean, okay, Rangers, I don't know what their tactics were. They were just inexplicable, really. When they'd so much,
I've never seen anything like it.
I don't know what their tactics have been all season, to be honest. I made the point about the forward line earlier on, watching that in the opening day against Kilmarnock, just absolutely zero width in the team. You would think later on yesterday they would go and obviously try and exploit the fact that we had our two second choice fullbacks in the pitch, and they couldn't lay a glove on us. I don't know what their tactical.
The only thing I expected them to do is go through the middle, because as you're saying, Dan, they never play wide. They don't have any wingers. No natural width they've got. I don't include Matondo. He's absolutely terrible. When they went through the middle, it's always because they get the ball deep with Raskin or Jack. They'll play it to Cantwell, who's further up and advances in the pitch, and he creates stuff in the last third. He'll either dive or he'll win something, free kicks around the area, and obviously they'll feed off that. But it's the fact that they had Cantwell sitting, it's like a six, and then they had him out wide in the right wing in the second half, and I just couldn't get my head around that. And that's why I was just gaining confidence, going, we've got this in the bag, down to that idiot in the dugout for them
to an extent. But it's not all because of that.
No, not all, but
you're, I think
it's a large part of it though.
But you think it's more that than us doing well?
I would say it's a lot.
What do you think was more important than us winning the game? What
us
percentage?
Us turning up was probably 60, but that name being a 40% as well.
Well, okay, that's not that bad. I thought you were going to be like 60%.
I was going to be knocking this glass off your head later.
Like, 60% of the reason was because Rangers were stupid.
No, 60 in terms of, right, okay, you have to have the mentality to actually turn up and be winners.
Aye, exactly. So
let's not forget, there's a hostile crowd baying for blood. It's our same Brendan said yesterday. He actually used that. Do you hear him baying for blood?
Brendan was quite funny, I have to say. But no, I think we should be focusing more on us rather than Rangers' failings, because nobody, I don't care what MD says, I think the people expected us to win yesterday was the minority. I think, did you expect us to win?
After a couple of pints on Saturday night, aye. All week though, I was expecting a defeat, to be honest. I don't think it'd be a doing, but I did grow in confidence after seeing just how bad they were on the Wednesday.
I thought it was always about Celtic for me, know what Rangers done, and obviously the way Rangers played did play a part in us winning, but we had to make it count. Rangers are obviously going to have chances, and you kind of get away with that defence. We had just the, I don't think, unless somebody's back injured for injury, I don't think that defence will play. I mean, if Phillips will be back, he'll be available for the next game against Dundee. Yeah. I mean, I doubt that defence will play together ever again. The only time they played together was at Ibrox with no Celtic fans, and we were out of form. I think it was whatever Rodgers came up with was obviously the opposite for what Beale came up with. I think it was a managerial masterclass for Rodgers.
Right, Dan, you're a big Rodgers mark here. What do you think he would have said before that game? Give us your shoot opinion.
Is what, sorry?
What do you think he would have said before the game, Brendan?
The players?
Well, we know what he said to them before the game. He told them to stand up and be men. he then made a point afterwards about how it was very important for them to go there as a young team and get that winning feeling at Ibrox for the first time, clearly forgetting that the vast majority of them would have been involved in the 2-1 win at Ibrox under Ange and plenty of other subsequent derby games. I'm not in the camp that it was a masterclass from Rodgers or us the other day. I don't think we were incredible, but I do think to go there obviously with the very obvious deficiencies in that team at the minute against albeit a poor Rangers side, but as we've said, in that setting where they are baying for blood, there's 50,000 of them and 11 men basically taking that on. Thought they were fantastic in that sense. I don't think it was a vintage performance. There's still areas to improve on, as we've discussed.
I think it's important to acknowledge that we can play better, and the next time 100%. We go there, we'll 100%. Have a better players back, and we should be holding on to the ball better to punish them. I think that's something to, I mean, I'm sure the manager will understand that though and take note of that, but at the same time, it's all about a win as well.
So I think 8 of the team have started in a win at Ibrox before. So
listen, they're a young team, they don't know what it's like to win this game.
Has Tumble up, did Tumble start on the 2-1 win? He started
in the 1-0 defeat in the
He didn't start on the 2-1 win.
I believe he came off the bench.
Aye, so
Matt O'Reilly might have started.
He did. No, he was a sub.
He came on as a sub.
Aye, okay.
Him and Beaton were it.
Aye, so 7 of this team have won in a starting lineup at Ibrox before. So
I'm trying to say Brendan's at it.
I still like him.
But no, I think that's really the start of Brendan's
Question for you both here before I move on to us and our final point. Rangers to have a new manager by the time we play them in December. I'm going to say yes. You, Dan?
I'd say it's fairly likely, to be honest, after that. I think he will actually benefit, ironically, from having not qualified for the Champions League, because he's not going to suffer from what Van Bronckhorst did last season, and that they're not going to be getting battered pillar to post by Europe's elite. Listen, as poor as they were yesterday and as poor as they have been, I'm under no illusions that we have left them with a bit of a tapping at a trophy before December, having lost that game down at Kilmarnock. So we'll wait and see. I do think he's under massive pressure now, and I don't think he's a good enough manager to come back from it.
I don't think
he's got the courage of his convictions, as a certain TalkSport pundit would say. He's not a live one. So I think in all likelihood I'd be leaning towards there will be a new man they dug out and play them in December.
Rizzo?
I think it'll depend a lot on the League Cup, because they should win that relatively comfortably, because we're out. They've got Livingston in the quarter-final at home. Can't see Livingston doing much against them.
The League Cup could be a saving grace, I think.
Aye, and that's in December. I think it's a couple weeks before they play us. So if they win that, I think he'll definitely stay. But I mean, if they go like 9 or 10 points behind, like Hampton Van Bronckhorst in like November, then I don't think it'll go that far, because even though I expect us to win our games, we've still got some difficult away games in the next few weeks. Like, we've still got Tynecastle, Easter Road, Motherwell, Livingston. Mm-hmm. We'd hard to get, and somebody will be after.
Motherwell started well.
John Topper League was. So, I mean, a lot of them will be after European games as well. I mean, if we take like 10 points out of 12, that'll be decent. Obviously, they'll be saying different on Gigford. So, no, I think you'll probably still be there. And don't forget, I think it's awkward if you're back to manager with a lot of money, and by Scottish standards and Rangers standards recently, that's a lot of money. Mm-hmm. They're not just going to get rid of him after. I know he's been like there since November, but this is still only 4 games. Oh, so
that's their problem, isn't it, John?
But I think he'll probably still be there, and I think we'll probably beat them pretty handily in December anyway. A game which I might be at, but I don't know yet.
Right, okay, last point then. So we're 4 points clear going into the break. Now, realistically, that can be extended in the coming months. Although Champions League football is going to play a challenging role in keeping our domestic form intact. Dan, if I can come to you, yes or no, very quickly, do you think we can do what we did last season under Ange and batter teams domestically while being in the Champions League at the same time?
I would hope so. Yeah, I would hope so. You and I have obviously talked about it a bit off air, about the damage it could potentially do to the team if they are getting battered in the Champions League again, but obviously with a lot of disappointment. I think, although we earned plaudits for the way we played last season, it was ultimately a disappointment, the Champions League campaign. And our domestic standards and form didn't really slip, so you've got to hope that that would be the case again, regardless of what happens between now and then in the European competition. So I'd fully expect us, we're obviously talking about Michael Beale being on, as Brendan said the other day, death watch at the moment. in terms of obviously his long-term managerial prospects at Ibrox, but I would be very happy and if not slightly annoyed actually if we didn't extend that lead between now and facing them in December.
Really
I think a minimum of 6 points between us.
I think we'll probably still be top of the league, maybe by 5 or 6 points. I kind of see us really hammering teams for a while yet, because that's not really the way Brendan plays his football. I'm hoping that with the new signings in the conference, that when we play Dundee, it's like 100 times better performance than it was against St Johnstone. So I'm hopeful we can start hammering teams, but the winning's most important.
Hey, well, we're going to do our outro and I'll let you do it, Rienzo, but you're going to have to tell the audience that myself and Dan are going to be planning for this week onwards.
Well, it's not really getting anything.
Try and get a name proper.
I get a name correct this time.
Tell us what is the name, because I don't remember.
All here for a visit.
Only here for a visit. Yes, well, I won't be involved most of the time.
You will sometimes?
Aye, sometimes, but most of the time I'm washing my hands of this.
That is if anyone listens to it and it becomes a long term thing, it might be the case. So.
Don't worry about me. I mean,
yes. Only here for a visit. The new gig pod extravaganza where we talk about stuff that isn't Celtic. So there will be stuff about football though, right?
Well, we're going to talk about Scotland this weekend.
We'll have to. It's international break, so it'll be silly not to.
Yes, probably talk about Italian football as well, because Dan.
I'll be a fair bit of that chat, yes.
That wonderful website, formerly known as Twitter.
Never heard it, but I've heard it X.
Yes, so these two, they might have talked about how they don't like X before, especially Steve, because we're on about it a fair bit and bold people for years about it. So we'll be talking about that, and we'll be talking about, I don't know, Blade Runner and Breaking Bad and all that, because I know you used to go mad on them.
Watched Blade Runner the other week, actually.
Yes, so there you go.
I've never seen it. I might have to watch it, then we'll review it as a second.
Yeah, we live watch, actually.
Yeah,
wait, which one we'll talk about?
But I don't know. I don't know, and I won't find out, because I don't be listening either.
What a loyal
I never listen to Gig Pod, even
what
though
a,
I'm on
what
it.
What a promo there for us, John. Thanks very much.
Yes, but check out, on the feed, the new non-Celtic podcast will be coming up next week.
We're going to take it here on Thursday.
And are we going to do a podcast next week then about a preview?
I'm not doing it with you if you don't listen to Only Here for a Visit.
Okay, I'll listen to the first one. I'll have notes for you about it.
Right, okay.
But, and we'll do a podcast next week about Dundee, and we'll need a Champions League preview as well.
Aye, we'll do that.
We'll do a Champions League preview.
A wary sigh there.
We'll do a Champions League preview, and then we'll do a podcast after final. And then you're going away for the game after that, of course. So I'm going to be the editor, listeners, for the Livingston podcast.
Good point, it's going to be nothing but static for 25
minutes.
That's true.
We'll make it a brief episode. But me and means
A debrief.
Me and Spunk phone and a crackly phone line. So, whoever he is. But yes, so thank
you. Never heard him.
I never heard that guy.
Yes, so thank you, Dan, for being on the podcast.
Thanks very much, John.
Thank you, Stevie, as always. You can catch Stevie on Instagram at GigPod. And are you still on that
Threads, was
Threads,
that?
Threads, that website that was supposedly
brought. Well, it'll come good. I bet it's Celtic Digestible.
Oh, if he's still on, if Threads is still an ongoing thing by the time you hear this.
Right, said Threads.
We're on Threads at GigPod. And next on the feed will be these two geniuses with their podcast. I'll be back next week before the.
Thanks for your support, by the way.
I do. I hope it does well. Maybe we could do a live show one day.
By the way, you got to tell the audience about that.
Well, no, because we're not.
Nah, don't ruin this.
No, not yet. No. No until. No until.
The pet for that.
No until we've got. No until we've got plans, listeners, for a.
Kempinski.
For GigPod 200, and then a couple of months' time, GigPod episode 200. But more of that near the time. Once I get into sorting it. So there you go.
So listen, don't hold your breath, everybody.
No, I will get it sorted. If I've no digging ditches, I'll get it sorted. Right, so you know where to find us in all the usual places. Give us 5 stars and all that, etc. And GigPod will be back next week, but these two legends will be back this week. So speak to you all soon. Well done, Celtic. Thanks to everybody for listening, and hail, hail.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.